Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Phil Nutley, founder of Corridor. I've been working in the design industry for about 18 years, and I think I'm right in saying that this word probably appeared about 10, 12 years ago. I remember people throwing it into branded environments and subsequently brand experiences. Like David, obviously, with his word on innovation and prototyping, this word is obviously a massive word, and sometimes it's really misunderstood. For me, I'm more interested in community and what brands can bring to communities. And by communities, I mean cities, places, cultures, cultural institutions, corporations. I think it's important that obviously these communities have great stories to tell. I'm from Brighton. I'm from Sussex. There's a great story that I've been told by my grandfather. We have a, on top of the Downs, there's a place called Devil's Dyke. And supposedly, way, way back, the devil tried to dig a massive gorge through the hills of Sussex and flood all of Sussex. And luckily, there was an old lady that lived in a house. And she came out hearing the noise of the devil digging with her lantern. He thought the sun was coming up, and she basically saved Sussex. So these great stories, or folklore, as we know, have been around for many, many years. It's how we used to communicate before we all started playing on tablets and phones, and even before the quill and the ink came along. I suppose stories are positive memories, and the best brands and the best communities tell us a great story, or we become part of that story. And that positive memory is one that we like to retell. A great example of that was right here in London this summer with the Olympics. I mean, how many people had a conversation or an opinion or a story to tell about all the fantastic athletes? And there was a different ambience. So you begin to see how positive memories can filter into culture. You guys are pretty big, actually, as a community. You're 1.7 million or thereabouts. Globally, you sit right up there, actually. You sit in between McDonald's, 1.9 million, and the Chinese National Petroleum Company is six at about 1.6. You guys kind of know some of these. That's the People's Liberation Army, second one. And the US Department of Defense is about 3.2. And Foxconn, I can see a few iPhones. They're the people that make all the Apple products, with about 1.2 million people. So 1.7, that's a massive community of you guys. And I think the best brands or the best communities have great touch points. And I'll explain that a little bit more. I'm going to show you a case study. While I was director of brand experience at Landor, which is kind of a school of branding, employs about 1,500 people globally, I was invited to come to Sweden and meet a bear. And this bear was called Bjorn. And any of you that know your Swedish know that Bjorn is actually bear in Swedish. But they invited me out to meet Bjorn and the board of directors, who had a huge problem. They had 400 petrol stations throughout Sweden, and they were losing money rapidly. To shut a petrol station down takes probably a good decade. It's the footprint, obviously, of leaving all of those tanks with petroleum in and clearing that site and for it to be safe. They were losing market value, and they wanted to make a point of difference. I ended up going over with a team of people, and we looked at all of the research that you have. Who was still going to play with Bjorn the Bear? And we found out that actually quite a few women were still visiting. So our point of difference and what we ended up designing was a petrol station for women or female fuel. Now, this is something that a tool that Landor use, and it's called a visual brand driver. And it's quite a lovely way of, we all deal in pictures much better than we do in words, unfortunately. I certainly do anyway. That's why I've got very few words and nice big pictures. But on the left was where the brand was. And again, we had a whole bunch of images, and we allowed the internal culture to design these with us. So very old Volvo, slightly lethargic, very greasy in the middle. Utilitarian is the stall. And the worst cups of tea and coffee you've ever had, believe me. I went round and did my user experience. I had about 10 hot dogs and about 4 cups of tea in one day, travelling around several petrol stations. And they were served in horrible, plastic cups. This is where we wanted to go. We came up with Hannah, who was in her mid-30s. She was a single parent. But as you can see, it's far more warm, welcoming, a more of a personal touch to it, even the way we would obviously serve the product. So you can begin to see how visually we would transition. We didn't have any marketing budget, no marketing spend. I mean, this really was last-ditch effort. You can make more money out of a litre of coffee than you can out of a litre of petrol. So our only opportunity for reconsideration with a preem customer was to look at the architecture. And we slightly changed it. We introduced white. We obviously normally on the fascia boards, if you look, normally the brand is placed on there. But we kind of made it jut out. So it was an opportunity for people to say, hey, something different is happening. Bjorn is on the other side. You can probably just see the bear in the far corner over there. Maybe it's very, very blank, but he'd poke his head out. So it was still there, still familiar. Obviously, it was for females. It was a female petrol station, and we sat with a lot of getting to know how women prefer to use petrol stations. They want it to be safe. They want it to be clean. To be frank, no different to how blokes want it, to be honest. But we made it really, really simple. So very bright. All the kind of information was really easy and simple to follow. We colour coordinated everything. Before it was green and bits of orange and horrible, horrible colours. So again, and a kind of subliminal finger, so the kind of architecture begins to kind of point people in the right direction. Inside the convenience store, so this was the opportunity where we could make more money for the brand, and this is why I say touch points. So I went shopping with Eka Manet, which is like a big Tesco's, and I filled about 4 trolleys full of new products. So before, they'd always sell beer, hot dogs, porn, and ice cream. Unbelievable in a cold country that would eat so much ice cream. Not in that particular order anyway. But obviously, we went with them and we worked out that for females, they didn't particularly want all of those. No great shakes there. And we realised that they wanted, like a Jamie's Recipes, they wanted parts of a meal that they could bring home for the family. That they were time poor, obviously, so in the morning they wanted to grab a nutritious breakfast, so lots of yogurts, fresh fruit, granolas, the kinds of things that we see now in our petrol stations or in the convenience stores next to it. But again, fresh bread, so again that aroma, that smell was really, really important. Again, using all the senses within a brand or a community is really, really key. The pendant lighting, the warm lighting, I mean, like us now, unfortunately, at about 4 o'clock, 3-4 o'clock, it's dark, you know, so what makes that feel like home? What makes that warm and inviting? A view from behind the counter, obviously, fresh baked product, clearly laid out, a nice hierarchy, so as you walk in, fast-moving products, so obviously drinks. Toilets. Toilets were massive. When we started talking with the focus groups, petrol station toilets or service station toilets are filthy. And one of the things we could do as a way to gain a really good story was do something with the toilets. So we blocked up all the doors on the outside, stopped all the heavy boots coming in from the truckers, and allowed everybody to come into the toilets through the inside. We put potpourri, we put lots of lovely imagery inside, but we made it feel like a boutique hotel, you know, kind of toilet. So kind of spent a bit more than we would normally do within that environment. Mosaics on the wall, nice soaps, and it was cleaned regularly every half an hour. But you want to see the amount of noise that began to happen. I mean, this was before Twitter and, you know, social networks. It's about 7 years ago. And the amount of press we got because we had the best toilets in Sweden. And people wanted to visit a petrol station toilet. So you see how that story began to kind of filter out within culture. So there's, again, just some of the touch points that I talk about. So Bjorn appeared where words that kind of excited people. So it was fresh product. We introduced the pour. We weren't actually allowed to touch the brand, and that was done by Wolf Ollins in 1996. So we actually weren't allowed to play with it, but what we introduced was the pour print. So again, as if Bjorn had personally chosen some of the product for you. And it worked really, really well. People really, really enjoyed it. It increased, obviously, the number of people that were going into the station, but more importantly, it increased turnover by 147% from day one. And there are now 500 sites, and it's still going really, really successfully. I'm just going to finish on the last few slides. Obviously, customer journey has been spoken about quite extensively. Here, let's take you through one. So you make a phone call, you book a table, you get taken to your favourite area. It's got great lighting. You're welcomed. You're handed a menu. The music's rather pleasant. The food is superb. The service was great. The seating was comfortable. The ambience was exactly what you were expecting. And it was a great memory. It's a restaurant, right? But why couldn't that be a GP surgery? And I'll press that red button. Take yourself through it again. But this time, obviously, take out the food bit. Why can't you make a phone call? Book yourself a favourite table. Go to the favourite area that makes you feel comfortable. It quite obviously has great lighting. The way you're welcomed. The menu and the services are very clear. It has music. We've obviously taken out the food. The service is great. The seating is comfortable. The ambience is a great one. And you walk away with a great memory. So is there an opportunity? And I know Colin had spoken about it earlier. Could that become a sub-brand of the NHS? And how, I think more importantly, could we use the community to design that environment with us? Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.